Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is your host, Janice Tunnell. Welcome to Beauty Talk for tonight, Sunday, November 22nd. We have Marvin Church on the line with us tonight, but first I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise, who has the beauty news. Sorry, you guys. I do this every Sunday night.
She does it to me every Sunday, and I'm like, I'm halfway through the news, and then she unmutes me.
Okay, let's try this again.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. I have a couple of announcements about Pro Beauty, and I'm sorry, I drew a blank, about the North American Hairstyling Awards. They are offering a three-part web series on Deconstructing NAHA, which is the North American Hairstyling Awards, coming up Monday, December 7th from 1 to 2 p.m. The collection comes to life. It's the name of that web series. And again, on Monday, January 11th from 1 to 2 p.m., Judging the Collection. So the first part of the series is already done. You can check that out at probeauty.org. And for more information on that three-part web series, you can go to probeauty.org. And again, it's Deconstructing the North American Hairstyling Awards. And speaking of NAHA, coming up July 24th, 2016, in Las Vegas, Nevada, the North American Hairstyling Awards is coming up. It's open now for submissions. If entrants want to submit their work to be considered, you can go ahead and do that now by going to probeauty.org. And I just want to run through the categories again, because most of the time you hear hairstyling awards, you think it's just awards for hairstyling. But there are a couple of categories for nails and makeup, as well as salon. So I just want to go through that if there's anyone out there who may be interested. But the categories are as follows: avant-garde, contemporary classic, editorial, hair color, and all of those pertain to hair, hairstylist of the year, makeup artist of the year, master hairstylist of the year, men's hairstylist of the year,
Nail Professional of the Year, Newcomer Stylist of the Year, People's Choice, Salon Design, Salon Team, Student Hairstylist of the Year, and Texture. So again, the categories that pertain to something else other than hairstyling are the Nail Professional of the Year, Salon Design, Makeup Artist of the Year, and everything else is hair related. So again, if you want to enter the NAHA Awards, you can go to probeauty.org to check out the categories and the requirements for each category, as well as to register for the awards.
All right. Do you know, is that nail category, is that new, or did they have that before?
No, the nail category, I think they had the nail category last year. It may have been new last year.
Okay, that's what it was.
Yeah, Nail Professional of the Year. Yes.
Good. Cool. Well, I just want to remind everyone that's listening, if you have a comment or a question, you can give us a call, and that number to call is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. You can also join us on Twitter. We're going to be chatting on Twitter while we're doing our show tonight, and you can use the hashtags #PoundBeautyLounge and #PoundBeautyTalk. Also, for those of you who are on the line and you want to ask a question, there should be an option for you to speak with the host, and that will alert us that you're on the line. All right, so our guest tonight is no stranger to the show. He's been on more than once, but we're glad to have him back on tonight. It's been a while. So welcome back to the show, Marvin.
Thank you.
How are you?
You're all cool.
I just want to say something early on. I just want to say peace on earth, because there's a lot of things that's going on that's outside of our beauty profession that we can't, we don't have the control over, but, there's a lot of things going on all over the world.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there were some threats here in Atlanta today, this evening, but nothing ever happened. But it's, things like that will put fear in people, because yes, we've just seen the same things occur just recently in the past week. So
we
just have to really be prayerful and really pay attention to what's going on in the world.
Oh yeah.
And just keep in mind, like you said, it's more going on in this world besides what we're, sitting here talking about tonight. So we just have to kind of, keep the world in prayer.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, Marvin, I want you to reintroduce yourself to some and introduce yourself to others. Tell everybody, how long you've been a barber, how you got your start. And then I kind of want to reminisce a little bit. So you go ahead and start with that first.
Okay, I'll start with being a young kid at 9, wanting to just do my hair. Feeling like I could do it better than a barber did. So I started out with that, carrying on that mission, and it grew into something that, a lot of people start to take notice to. And before the year was up of me being 9, I actually started cutting hair at $7 a haircut. And I just took that.
Wow.
I just took the skill set that I had as being a young artist who used to draw and trace other people's art, just to kind of get my hand, to get a certain type of angle. I used to learn that way. I taught myself, self-taught. So going into 9 years later, going into salons, learning other things from a beauty industry, like hairstyling, learning how to shampoo, I'm a cosmetology side of things. And then also saving my money up and paying my way through school, the barber school. And then you have 26 years later in the profession. I've done anyone from the Jay-Z's to the, to the Brad Pitts. We got the young Judge Mathis when he was early on in his career as a judge, and the Michael Eric Dyson that you see on TV regularly nowadays. And I recently just got hired to do Chuck Todd on NBC. My experience being able to groom J. gentlemen and women. It just basically took me a lot of places that I would never, you know, never think that I would be going. So I just used my talents and my know-how to actually, you know, get me to this point in life where I can go into actually saying I want to make my own products. So that's
right.
Where I'm at right now. Should I stop right now? But, you know, I'm honored to be on again because I know that you ladies have been doing a lot of things and, you know, it's hard to catch you. Trust me, I caught you.
But listen, at what age, because you said you started at 9, at what age did you go to school?
I went to school at when I was 18.
18,
and
okay.
It was pretty fast. I mean, it was 9 months. It's pretty fast. I went to school at Joseph Donahue in Philadelphia. International School, Northeast Philadelphia and Grand Avenue. I went to look for it recently. It wasn't there, so I'm still looking for it. I went there just basically to get the book knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the skill set, and anything else I could critique with my hand and know how. I first had to start with the book because I had to really get all that down because it's easy to cut for me. It was easy for me to cut the hair, but to basically tell someone what's going to happen, how we're going to do it, and to identify with different skin disorders and, you know, different things that's going on with the hair that, you know, average person will say, well, you know, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, or buy a certain amount of product. I can just say, hey, go to the physician first to save you money first. Let's go to the physician and see what's going on. You know, just having the knowledge to be able to do that, I think that's what I need most. Also learning some other techniques on how to deal with, you know, clients as a whole or people as a whole, because I'm more like a people person that I pretty much found out later on in my life that I don't mind just going up to someone and just giving them a card and introduce myself, and, you know, that's just me having confidence, I guess.
Right. Well, listen, when we met you in L.A., right?
Yes, we did.
But I can't remember where. I remember us all meeting up, but I can't remember where we met. Pinkberry.
We met at Pinkberry, yes, Pinkberry.
Yeah. Oh, so I remember us going to Pinkberry, but we actually met at Pinkberry. Oh,
and I was,
okay.
And I was seeing double. No, just kidding.
All these years, I was thinking that we met somewhere else, and then we all decided to meet up at Pinkberry, but we actually met you at Pinkberry. Okay.
No, yeah, I think we kind of like talked over the phone or, you know, through – you know, emails or messages and stuff like that. And then
we decided to meet at Pinkberry.
Yes. I think people, like yourself, people in the industry, we'll all somehow find each other, the right ones.
Right,
we'll
find
each other.
We do.
Yeah.
We do. That was a long time. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it
was.
What year that was? That was a long time ago. And we ain't met at Pinkberry since. We got to fix that, Mama.
I know. It's, you know, it's changed the name now. They done probably changed the name.
It definitely changed the flavor.
Yeah.
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
So tell me, Marvin, what is this male grooming all about?
Okay.
Why is it such a big deal?
Well, you know, if you really want to go back, cause as they say, history repeats itself. They say if you really want to go back, you know, I watch a lot of the old history, you know, movies, what have you, deep as the biblical sense, and with Egypt, when they had the kings and all them getting facials and getting a lot of, you know, services like that, being pampered in a special way. I think today men are starting to want to achieve that in their lifestyle. It's been so much of a thing where men were like the people pleaser in a sense, where they were like pleasing the woman that they were with, or, you know, a friend, you know, it's not for me, but it's for a friend, or, you know. So they were actually getting the enjoyment of, you know, of their lady or their friend actually going to get a massage and coming back with a big old, you know, smile on their face and feeling rejuvenated. But they didn't know how to go about getting it done themselves. So they were always kind of like questioning their manhood or what have you. But now a lot of men are stepping forward and saying, hey, I don't mind getting a manicure, you know. I don't mind getting a facial. You know, I work hard for it. I deserve it. And it's a billion-dollar industry globally.
Yeah, because, you know, like some of the facts that, excuse me, that I've been reading, you know, they're pretty much saying that in just two or three decades, the male grooming industry has gone from not really existing to becoming one of the fastest growing beauty sectors in the world. Like, men will actually spend just as much money as women to look good.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I mean, I could throw a number out. You can make
mm-hmm.
anywhere from $250 for 15 minutes of work.
Wow.
So I'm saying I've done it. But
mm-hmm.
I'm so much into the actual service, so I would, if I'm shaving the head, I'm probably going to compliment it with a facial afterwards, because it's all about preparation. You know, you want to prepare the skin to be, you know, taken into that level where you're going to actually use an implement that's really sharp, like a straight razor, because that's what I use, straight razor.
Okay.
A lot of men, they don't know, they've seen someone get it, or they might have seen something on TV, or they might have seen, like, something on, you know, social network where, you know, they got discounts, facials and massages and haircuts and all that. But when they get it done,
mm-hmm.
then they realize that they've been missing it for all their life. So they're like, God,
right.
man, I wish I knew about this early, but they'll never stop
right.
coming. You got them. But you have to provide a service. Because anybody can, you can get a haircut anywhere, you know. But if
yeah.
it's all about
yeah.
how you're actually doing it. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Tell me what you think about this. These are some facts that I found out. That it says the average man has an 81-minute-long grooming ritual. This includes cleansing, toning, moisturizing, shaving, hairstyling, and choosing clothes. The average man spends 23 minutes in the shower every day. I'm laughing at that. Somebody actually put
that
as a fact, right? 92% of men in their 20s agree personal appearance is important to them. 75% of men believe maintaining a well-groomed appearance is a sign of self-respect. 90% of young men would like to look good without looking like they've tried too hard. What do you think about some of that?
Well, definitely. I have a very diverse clientele, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, it varies with the different, you know, diversity is, you know, you have one person that, you know, they want to grow the beard, they just want to keep a shape but not a hard line,
mm-hmm.
and then you have some that just, you know, they want their hair cut just really sharp, crisp, you know, really sharp, they like to, you know, put a pomade, stuff like that on to keep it, you know, in a rare form. You know, I think men are starting to basically try to distinguish themselves from each other. So you start getting a guy that, you know, you might have, like for me, I wear Ferragamos. Another barber
mm-hmm.
in the shop may wear Gucci loafers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I set my own mark. You have clients that come in that dress like me. So, I, you know, in return, I kind of reflect them because I want the same respect, you know, and I respect them by the way that they come in and present themselves. You never get a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So when they come in, I don't only look at my station as a station, I look at it as my office, you know.
Right.
So when you come in, you're coming into my office, and I want it to be looked at as,
right.
you know, a professional. And that's what I think a lot of them, the professionals that I do, a lot of them, you know, they want to keep and maintain a professionalism, but also a natural, like I woke up like this, in a sense, you know, to be honest, I woke
right,
up
right.
like this. A lot of them want that feeling of that it's going to maintain, it's going to hold me even when it's growing back, it's still going to look good, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but the shower thing, I don't, you know, I think 10 minutes you can
right.
really work. You know,
right.
10 minutes, you know, I think 10 minutes you can get it done. But
Yeah. So it is a matter, in some cases, a matter of self-respect and how people perceive you, how they look at you. You now have male grooming salons and spas specifically, you know, for men, or spas that feature treatments specifically for men. You know, everybody now has something on their service menu for men, which I think is a good thing. I really think it's a good thing.
Well, you have more couples, so you have more women pull their men in, and as long as they're together, it's okay. They feel, you know, oh, okay, what else? What else is going on? What do you want me to do? She's like, let me pamper you, you know? So guys are more
right.
susceptible to that nowadays, you know?
Right.
They'll be they act like they're scared, but they really want it, you know.
Right.
I see that all the time.
Marvin, what are you on Twitter?
What am I? What's my
What's your handle? What's your handle on Twitter?
It's at Marv the Barb.
Okay.
M-A-R-V.
But that hasn't changed.
B-A-R-B. And then I got at H-J Harry James. That's another one for the products. Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna get into that in a few minutes. I wanna know all about that one.
Well, I thought I got my alter ego product. No, I was kidding.
No, not at all. I know the name gotta come from somewhere. No,
yeah.
I knew that. But I do like the we'll talk about that in a minute, but I love the logo.
Okay.
I love the logo.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So share with us, because, you know, we have makeup artists listening, and I specifically want to talk about the hair that's on the face.
Okay.
A lot of times when we work on a film or a television show, you know, we'll have a barber that will come in, especially if we're working with African-American men, we'll have a barber to come in. He will cut the guys. But then a lot of times the barbers will take it upon themselves to do something with the facial hair. Now, truth be told, on a film or television set, the facial hair, whatever's on the face, really is the makeup artist's responsibility. So we really are supposed to be able to do something with the facial hair. But, you know, most of us are not even paying attention, and the barber will do it all. And we were like, sure, fine, go right ahead. But I want makeup artists to feel comfortable with dealing with the facial hair. So can you just give us some tips about, shaving our guys and how to keep the hair on their face nice and groomed well?
I think one way is to identify with the face as well as the way that you identify it before you're putting makeup on, before you beat the face, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to identify with the skin and figure out, you know, what would be proper implement to actually use on the face. Whether some people can use razors, whether you're good with a razor. Some women use this eyebrow razor. It looks like a razor on the end. Some people use that. It could possibly be used for a man's mustache if, you know, you're really good with it. I also use a razor like that, not that small, but I use a straight. It's actually straight. It's like a butter knife.
Right.
But you may want to get yourself a pair of outline edgers. And you'll be able to identify with the way the hair is growing, and you're going to go with the grain, against the grain, and you can look at the face and see how the action, if it's a white male, you know, rather skin is being irritated, you can tell by the color, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing as a black male or someone of color, you actually can see that it may be a dryness to the skin, or you may be overdoing it. There's other actual clippers that you can actually use, or shaver shapers by Walls, which I like a lot.
Right.
I could use them. I kind of use them sometimes over the razor, except when I need to do detail work.
So did you say that you go with the grain or against the grain, or does it matter?
Well, you're going to go, okay, it depends on how short the hair is, right?
Uh-huh.
Because if it's long, you can go with the grain, cut it down first, then you can go against the grain. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
Because a lot of times, if it's too long and you start against, and determined by the texture of the hair, you can actually be causing trauma to the skin. So you'll be, you know, cutting with these edges, and you're cutting long strands. It's like over an inch or two, and you're like, and they're like, ooh, ah, ooh, you know. So,
That makes sense.
To approach it. But I know as a makeup artist, you want a clean face. I mean, if you're dealing with women, you don't have to worry about too much hair.
Right.
So they get it waxed.
Well, with film and television, like when you're a part of the union, of course, like my sister said, as makeup people, we are responsible for facial hair. So sideburns, mustaches, beards, anything on the face, we're responsible for. But, of course, men tend to be more comfortable with men, you know, trimming their hair, their facial hair. So I guess as female makeup artists, you know, sometimes you can be a little intimidated with doing that, because you know automatically they're more comfortable with a guy. But then there are some men who they don't have a problem you know, as long as you're not cutting them, you know what I mean? As long as you're not hurting them, they don't really have a problem. But it's like, well, I think a lot of women just want to feel comfortable that they're doing the right thing and using the right tools.
Well, just like anything, I mean, right now you have internet that's, you know, YouTube is really big on that. You can find out different clippers to actually use for the skin and the actual styles that are out there. Basically, if you look at the way that they're already, because some it may come with a lot of hair, they may not. They may just need to get touched up a little bit. And a lot of times, if you can keep the shape and clean it up a little bit, everything else is pretty much covered by makeup. I mean, I look on TV a lot. I watch NBA basketball a lot. So I see guys, I can see, this is just my eye. I don't know about anybody else's, but I could actually see where they actually did cover up where the line wasn't sharp. But with makeup, you can actually, you know, make that line, you know, be a little more crisp and a little more bold just by the makeup that you're using. I know a lot of makeup artists, they use tweezers, you know, and that's like eyebrows, but you can't use tweezers on the beard, right? That'll be, you know, harsh. But the thing is that they do have mannequins. Now, we can go that far as doing mannequins. I know it's not like real people, but they do have mannequins that you can actually get somewhat of a handle on with the clippers. You can actually cut. They have beard mannequins, by the way. That's what I'm talking about. That you can actually cut the hair. You can just kind of feel it, you know, feel how the hair is cutting. Cause a lot of people are not used to the vibration or just the feeling of, you know, the hair being cut. You know, looking at the different, they have diagrams that you can actually see different beard shapes. They probably have, I think, about 50, you know, from mustaches to beards, goatees. They have like 50 of those. There's diagrams that are out there that you can actually find out, you know, different shapes, different mustaches, and you can kind of see what, you know, the guy is actually wearing. And you can basically, you know, just don't always do less first, because you try to do too much, then you've done too much, and you can't put it back on. I mean, I know you ladies can, because I know we talked about that. You had to do some makeup one time, so
you can lay it on, huh?
I could put the hair back on, but you know, you want to maintain the shape that they have, and I think they'll pretty much let you do a lot of things after that. I mean, eyebrows or whatever, you clean them up. You know, if you can do that, you're pretty much in the door. You can keep them clean. You also got to clean the face. You got to prepare the skin for that. So you want to make sure there's no oils on the skin, so they'll make it a lot easier, or lotions on the skin, so they'll make it a lot easier when you're actually cutting the hair. And get you a pair of adjustable clippers if you have to cut it down. And guards.
Right.
Tell me about the length-wise.
So let's talk about guards, because I know you use, especially when cutting the hair as well, you use different guards depending on the length of the hair and depending on what length you're trying to get it to.
Yeah, I use red guards. These red guards called Speedo guys, and they come in like a white box of red writing. Sometimes they come in a pack, like a 4-pack or 3-pack. And I use anywhere from this is a term that they use in barbering. It's called OCK. So you do use a 0 OCK or a 00 OCK. Those are just the sizes.
OCK?
Yeah, OCK. What is it? Maybe it was a Philly thing. I don't know. But
how do you spell it?
I don't know. I'm just, you know, that's how they say OCK. It's a 00 OCK. Anyway, maybe it was a Philly thing. Okay? But the 00 size, you have anywhere from a 000 all the way up to, I think, 3 3/4. And it's just the same way if you were to buy a pair like Oster 76s or now have a new clipper with Andis that actually uses the same blades too. It goes all the way up to a 3 3/4 too as well, and a texturizing blade. But the Speedo guys, those red ones, they actually clip on and they stay on. You know, when you have to actually work fast, you know, you have to speed up a little bit. You want something to stay on and you want to feel secure about that. Some of the guards that actually come in the box, they don't always stay on. You know, if you're going fast on the head, those guards sometimes can actually slide off. So, you know, I never had that happen, but I heard about it. But I just got something that was going to, you know, give me what I want every time, and they do. So. Still here?
Yes, we're here.
Okay.
We're just thinking.
Okay.
Processing. Yeah. Well, you know, Marvin, I like to always ask
every barber that we talk to. I just would like to get everybody else's take on it. You know, a lot of African American, they deal with the razor bumps.
Okay.
Let's talk about how you deal with that.
Excuse me. Okay, well, it goes back to being, you know, just like you was doing makeup, you want to identify with the hair. I mean, not the hair, but the, not only the hair, but you want to identify with the skin as well. See if it's dry. It's like, to me, no one personally has the best skin. You know what I mean? Like, no one really has the normal skin without doing something a little extra to kind of maintain and keep them there. So you're going to have people where your noses are oily and, you know, different areas of your face. You might, your hairs may grow back into your skin. So you're going to have that underneath the chin. Underneath the chin, the hair grows different than it does on the cheeks, you know. So identifying with that and understanding how the hair is being cut first, that's going to help deal with the hair bumps, because you can alleviate that, you know, by cutting the hair right. But when you overcut, a lot of times the skin gets dry. It's almost like if I use a razor, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine when you use a razor, it's a thin layer of your skin that comes off with the hair. So it may make your skin look husky for some people, or dry. It may make it look dry. You may see like an ash look. And that may come because of the skin is maybe dry a lot more dry. You need more moisture. You may need a prepping oil to actually use before you shave and put the shaving cream on. But just understand, if you keep shaving in that same area, you took one skin layer off, you're going to keep taking another skin layer off, and another skin layer off, and another skin layer off. And that's going to cause a lot of irritation on the comeback, because the skin wants to protect you. You know, it's hair that grows out of your skin, especially as with men. You know, you may see a lot of men now growing beards. It's not because of Movember, but it's because, you know, their hair is growing back fast on their face, so they kept it. And, you know, due to the weather, the hair is going to grow back on the skin to protect it. So
right,
that's a form of trying to protect itself. But when you overdo it and you don't cut the hair right, the hairs are going to grow back in a sense where it's like you retard the growth. So the hairs tend to grow a little different, and they will irritate the skin once they kind of curl over. You know,
mm-hmm.
A lot of people that have curly hair, their hair starts to curl over, and it touches their skin. Now you start rubbing your face, you know, and rubbing your face is basically scratching your face, even if you're using your
right.
back hand. So,
right.
you know, you want to be able to really prepare the face and take the face out of it without using the alcohol or anything like that. That's another thing that can actually cause ingrown hairs. So it closes up the skin too tight, so the hairs won't be able to grow out. You want the skin to close up with something of a moisturizer or a balm or something like that that can actually, or oil, that can actually, you know, heal, protect the skin, give it a seal on the outside, but also leave a moisture inside the pores. So when the hairs actually grow out, they're growing out, you know, a lot more smoother and a lot more softer.
Right. You know, I can really appreciate how you approach what you do, because I'm going to be honest, you're the first barber that I've ever heard. When you respond to almost every question, you always consider the skin first.
Yeah, identify with the skin. I'm just sitting here like,
yeah. I mean, that, and to me, that's huge, because
you only got
I've
one
never.
Skin.
That's right. You're right. And every time I ask a barber that question about the razor bumps, I've never heard anybody talk about, like you have, the skin. And then, but just with every question that I've asked you, you know, you mentioned the skin first, which I think is so, so important. And I think that before we start shaving and before we start applying makeup, we have to deal with the skin and treat the skin first. So that's really key. That's really, really important. So let's talk a little bit about Harry James. I'm excited
about before we move on to that, I just have to mention that Sharon Tina Brightman, she's on Twitter as Style Degree, and she tells me it's OCK.
OCK. I wanted to say
a popular Philly saying, she says. So I'm just, you know, She was fooling me a little bit, so now
let me
I know.
Tell her,
okay.
What up, Ock? What up, Ock? That's what they say. Okay. What's up, Ock? Okay. OCK. Well, that's what I wanted to say. I was thinking OCT. I was OCK. Okay.
Okay.
Tell me what inspired you to start this line, and then where did the name Harry James come from?
Okay, the inspiration came back in 08. Now, that's when I started actually making the products. But let's go back a little further when I started actually working on other people's skin as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just taking blemishes off. I mean, I've tried several products, but I've always tried natural products that were about, you got discoloration on people, guys that have like bumps but have discoloration after that. So I've used several products over the years, and, from the vitamin E's, I've used a lot of that, to tea trees and all that. And I was always intrigued by, why doesn't companies out there, in the mass production companies, why don't they have products like that? And you'll find a few of them, but you look at the ingredients and you'll find out that they all have something that is not really good for you in the long run. So, I was working with a company. I was doing a contract with The Art of Shaving, and they were the first company that opened up 50 stores. And their main thing, their main component of selling was product. But they all had a barber, a master barber there that actually would, if you want to buy the products or try the products out, you can get a shave, a haircut, and you can, see how they feel and everything, and maybe purchase and learn a thing, learn a thing or two. Procter & Gamble actually bought them in 2010, which, I did 2 years at Art of Shaving, and then I moved on and done more movies and stuff like that. So while I was in that whole process of, learning and doing all that mixing, because I was mixing products back then, I started to realize that a lot of big companies had alcohol in their products and, different things that would, it's kind of like medicine in a sense. It wouldn't totally heal you, but it would suppress it just so you can get along. You know what I mean? That's good enough for you. You know what I mean? Never fixing the problem. So I chose to research a lot of ingredients. Like one of the main ingredients was argan oil, and then you got sandalwood. So I started to research and see the benefits of it, but I also wanted to have ingredients in my products that actually, had healing properties, but also would coexist together without diluting within one another. You know what I mean? So I wanted something that was going to, I'm not trying to totally change the game. I'm just trying to, give it a refreshing, a facelift. I'm trying to, give it from different light. So I started with a product that is called Beth Rose by Harry James. We'll go into the name in a minute. I started with this product. It's a little woodsy. It has a nice, good smell. But with the argan oil, it actually stops wrinkles. It actually, makes the skin younger. I actually use it in Mexico. I never got sunburn. I put it on my arms. I put it on my legs. In Mexico, I never got sunburn.
So it's like a serum?
It's an oil. It's
a beard oil.
That's the first product. It's a beard oil. And, I thought of it in the sense of the health and of the whole grooming industry because, we're not looking at it from a long-term effect. A lot of guys come to the barbershop and they spray some aftershave on or something, and it's like, and they expect that kind of like that makes you a man. But it doesn't mean that that's the experience you have to always have. So when I came with my product, a lot of guys, they not only did they like the smell because it smelled like it could be a cologne, but they like actually what it was doing for them within that first week. And I sold a case in like 4 days without advertising, just off the strength of me using it over the time, and people wanted to buy it. So when they had a chance to buy it, they bought it. So that was only the basis of my product, was actually to make something that would preserve and restore, a man's skin. But not only did it restore and preserve, also women actually wanted to buy it because of the argan oil, which when they dry their hair, they use 2 or 3 drops and put on their hair, and their hair wouldn't like, you know, fume, you know, in a sense where Moroccan oil would smoke out. So that argan oil would kind of like suppress all that. They wouldn't have fumes and stuff like that. So a lot of women were buying it as well. So I was like, do I have to break it up and do 2 products? But so yeah, and I have some other stuff in the lab for them. But but getting into that, I wanted to just kind of maintain, because 20 years from now, you still want to look youthful. It's your own. You got one skin out here. You got one skin every day you go outside, and it's a lot of different elements outside that are, you know, not good for us. You know, ozone layer is a whole lot different now. You know, people of color are getting sun, you know, sunburn, and they're getting cancer, you know, skin cancer. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying to just, you know, for that cause of that, I'm trying to, you know, give a product that's out there and that's healthy that people can use. You can actually use it on your child if you want to use it on your child. Those are the things that I have to look at because I have children myself, and I don't want to rub faces with my baby and, you know, she's having some type of effect with that. So
right.
So I'll go into the Harry James name. You want to go into the name now?
Yeah, I had a question. So. I know. I had a question about the beard oil. So let's just say, for instance, because, you know, I'm going to need some of this for this oil of yours for the season 3 of Survivor's Remorse coming up in the new year.
Special delivery.
So let me ask you, so basically if I have an actor in the chair with the barber and he's being cut and the barber is doing something with his facial hair, should the barber be using the oil like right after he's shaved them, or at what point should we be putting this on?
I use it as a finisher or daily, mm-hmm. a daily oil. I put it on my whole face. Because what's in it, it doesn't make sense to just have your beard looking good and the top of your forehead looking bad. So I put it on the whole face because it can be used in that way. I take 2 or 3 drops. I can rub it in my hands first, and then I put it on my face. It's like using lotion. It helps. It's good for the hair. It's good for the skin. It helps the hair to grow, and it also hydrates the skin and the hair. So those are things that a lot of the women, they liked about it. So if you were to use it, you want to use it as a finisher, but I would prefer someone to actually use like a warm towel to kind of like, you know, wipe the face off first, open the pores up a little bit so it'll be susceptible to take it in. And then it seals the skin.
Gotcha. Nice.
Outside of the skin, yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's hear about this name.
Okay, so Harry James. Okay, so I had 2 grandfathers growing up, 3 and 4 years mm-hmm. old. I used to always go over to their house as a kid. I noticed at an early age that I have my father's dad. He had 8 kids. My mother's father, they had 9 kids. Okay, big family. Mm. But what I noticed most of all as a kid, I noticed that they both owned their own business. And that was like a role model. Even though my dad worked, now, you know, he worked, my mother worked, everybody was working. But those are the things that I, at an early age, that I really noticed that. And I thought it was really, you know, it just inspired me. It stayed on my mind.
Right.
Yeah, it stayed on my mind. And Harry Church, which is my dad's father, you know, he owned a lot of property. His wife died when my dad was like, I think he was 18. Their mother died when he was like 18, 19. So he pretty much raised, you know, for the rest of that time, even though they were, you know, all the other kids were gone and going to college and stuff like that. But he still maintained the family and the love and, you know, all of that type of stuff that comes with having family and sharing and stuff like that. And then my other grandfather's name is James Polk, who and by the way, Harry Church was he actually worked at DuPont, Nylon Capital. He retired. Actually, as he retired, he already had a farmland, so he farmed. So he had chickens, pigs, and all that, watermelons and everything, which we loved. James Polk had a garage. He was a mechanic. Used to be a truck driver. But he had a garage, a gas station, soda machines. He had some farming land. He had people coming to get strawberries. He had goats. He had grapes. He had pears. He had, you know, apples, you name it, okay? So that's where the Bethel Road comes from, because that was the road that he actually lived on. And when I was mixing the product up, it just reminded me of that area. So that's how Bethel Road came about. But those two names, Harry, James, I thought they were very strong names, and I thought they would make they would come across the right way.
I think, not to cut you off, I think it's a great story, and I think that the name in general sounds like the perfect name for a male grooming product. It really does. I had a feeling that it probably meant something to you. That's why I asked the question. But I love the name. I really do. I love the name. I love the logo. I think the packaging of the product is great. It's a great look.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to kind of like give something back, because I'm the youngest of 29 grandkids and probably the third youngest of 32 grandkids on James Polk's side. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to grow up with all my cousins and them not looking at me as, you know, the baby or a whiner, you know what I mean? So those things are still in me that I had that kind of gave me a confidence to actually, you know, for those examples that I had, gave me the confidence to do what I do now. I can walk in any building and any door and with my head up and be proud of who I am and go in and get the job. You know what I mean? So, because I had those, I think because I had those examples early on in my life.
Let me read this comment to you. I have to read this comment to you because this is a great comment, and it really is a great example of how I feel about the name as well. So Sharantina is on Twitter, and she's saying, "Love the name Harry James. Gives me image of a mature, dapper, grown man with style to kill, groomed for the gods and class." And really, that's kind of exactly what I think of. When I see that name or I hear that name, you know, I think of, you know, a grown man, a mature grown man, somebody with style, sophistication, that kind of thing. It says a lot. The name itself, just in general, says a lot. You know, without even anybody trying the product, you know, just the name itself.
Well, that's the way it was. I mean, that's the way they were. And in that time, they grew up, they paid everything in cash, okay? So you know, we're talking about a whole deal. I'm talking about land and everything. And So this is, you know, you're looking at a different type of if you want to say black man, you're looking at a different type of black man, you know? So, you know, that was my role models. And, you know, for me doing this today, even though they're not around, they're not with us, you know, in physical, you know, that keeps me going. You know what I mean? That keeps me going. Because those are examples that I have. And that they work,
you know,
hard.
Watching your grandfathers who both had their own businesses, and they, I'm assuming that they had their own sense of style, which you probably watched, and sounds like, you know, they had made a very good impression on your life, and you've kind of incorporated some of what they did into what you do. Do you bring a lot of that you saw from them into what you do every day as a barber and a groomer?
Yes. Well, let me just speak on James Polk. He used to cut his own hair. So if you ever saw my hair short, I saw that with him doing it. You know what I mean? He had some Wall Seniors. I think that was the big name, because my dad had a pair too. My dad used to cut his own hair. So, you know, I saw that. And then when I was older, when I was a teenager, my grandfather, Harry Church, allowed me to cut his hair. And he actually stopped my dad from cutting his hair and said, "I want the young fella to cut it." So it was kind of like that gave me another, you know, some more confidence. You know what I mean? So and to see them go out every day and don't complain, you know, about work, you know, and I work with both of them. I worked out in the fields, you know. I got my hands dirty. I pulled up Johnson grass. Is anybody in the South or anywhere that have fields know about Johnson grass? I pulled up Johnson grass. I'm not afraid to get my hands dirty, you know. I'm so willing to participate and be a part of something. And, you know, to see them actually doing it and maintaining it over all these years that we still have that property, on both sides, you know, we still have a problem. So, you know,
Nice.
Stays with me.
Now I've got to know, what is Johnson grass?
Yeah.
Well, Johnson grass is weeds. So if you're growing like crops in the field, anywhere like mm-hmm. soybeans or corn, when the crops are small, Johnson grass can kind of take over that actual crop and stop it from actually growing. So either they have a crop duster. A crop duster is a plane that flies down and sprays the actual crops. Or if it's not that many, not that much out there, you can actually go out there and pull the grass up. And, you know, that can also help when the crops are already cut down, because then you'll have greens in the field. So with your greens that you eat, they came from those fields, those type of fields. They go out and cut it, even turnips. So I'm just saying, those type of things. When I got off of school, my grandfather asked me to do that, and yeah, he always paid me, but I still went out there and did it, and I didn't, you know, never bought them. Mm. Pulling up weeds. Mm.
Pulling up weeds.
Now I cut weeds.
But yeah. You know what, though? But just listening to you talk about that, and you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, like the things that I've always known about you since we met, it's like you are always working at something. You know what I mean? Like always trying to, you know, move and get to that next level, always working at something. So that's something that I've always noticed about you, which I think is great. And that's a great example for all of us out there who are just trying to work at our craft, you know, always just keeping it moving and trying to move to the next level with what it is, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. But also I wanted to say, because I'm looking at a couple more comments.
I wanted to say something about that too, quick.
Okay,
just real quick. And I appreciate you saying that. It means a lot. You know, you wake up. A lot of people just wake up and they don't know what their, you know, divine purpose is. Some people fight it. Some people accept it. Some people are just out in limbo, still not really accepting or really knowing that's what it is. And they have people to tell them this is who they are. You know, you can run away from stuff, but it's still going to find you. And I can run away from hair, but somehow I'm going to be somewhere else, and I'm eventually going to cut somebody's hair. And that's how it always is for me. Sometimes you love it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you settle with it, but you still get up with a purpose. And I know a lot of people that are not here that had started me out, like when I was 18, two ladies that I work with that allowed me to come work there and actually cut guys' hair on an apprentice license as well. They're not here. They died last year, like 6 to 7 months ago. So both of them, of cancer. So those people like that, when I talk to them and they're on their deathbed and everything, they say, hey, you know, you go as far as you can with this, because I knew you was going to do it. I knew you was special. You was something. And when you have people telling you that, even on their dying bed, they're not worried about themselves, they're telling you something like that. That's more reason to say, when I'm tired, my bones hurt, because standing up, I get up every day with that purpose and knowing that people are not here to do what I do in the industry, you know, but I'm still carrying that on because I am a part of them as well as they was a part of me. So that kind of sums that part up. Oh, yeah. Even y'all.
That's right.
You know, even your cousin that I met, you know, can I say his name? Nas. Even when I met him, 20 years in the game, you know, grew up listening to this guy, you know what I mean? Mm. Wanting to rap like Nas, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Wanting to be like that. Here I am somehow in arenas with these type of people, where Michael Eric Dyson's telling Nas that I rap too, that Marv the Bar raps too, you know what I mean? So I didn't have to say a rap after that, you know what I mean? For Nas to come and shake my hand and say, Marv, you rap too? I say, yeah, Nas, you know, and take a picture, you know, and that'll last a lifetime, because here I am with if not one of the best or the best rapper, you know, one of the best. And I've cut a lot of rappers that claim to be the best, you know, and it's just things come in a sense of full circle. So here we, you know, because here we are again. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So as we come around, what are we going to do to inspire the next generation and leave some behind as well that they can actually take it to the next level? So
That's one way that
I can do it.
Yep, that's it right there. I just wanted to share that going back to the name Harry James, Aisha Tiffany on Twitter says, grown and successfully mobile is what I think of when I hear Harry James. And then
Can
Sharon Tina, Yes, you can.
tweet that to me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aisha. Can he keep that? and then Sharantina, she also made another comment where she says, "Epic branding in the name alone." So, I think you hit it. You hit it on the head when it came to that name. And it just it means a lot. And just to hear the story behind it, and just to know who you are and the story behind the name, it just says a lot. And I really believe that it's going to go a long way. You're going to go a long way, and in the success of the brand, you'll go far with that.
Thank you.
I do believe. Let's see.
I got yours in the box already.
Yeah, I want to try it on. I want our guys to try it for sure.
Oh yeah, I have more. So I have a pomade balm. It comes like a pomade form, but it's a balm you can use on your. I usually use it on my arms, hands, mm-hmm. hair, and a little bit on my face. You don't need a lot. I have a green tea mm-hmm. one. The base is a shea butter. Mm-hmm. And I have a mango sandalwood. So for those who like it,
nice.
You know, a little more sweet island. And there's always someone that likes one or the other or both. Mm-hmm. So you get that, you know, which I think that I'm meeting that mark with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's another one that I have. Hopefully I can get that out for Christmas time, package it out for Christmas.
Okay.
With the beard oil.
Do you sell it in a kit?
That's what I'm working on right now. Hopefully get that out. By the end of this month, and I can get them out. You may see him on, I don't want to say Etsy, but you may see it on something like that. I'm going to post it up mm-hmm. on Facebook. I'm going to post it a lot of, tweet it out. And
okay.
Hope you can do that. And some lucky person will get a free, you know, grooming services.
Oh, nice. Well, definitely let us know what we can do to help get the word out for sure. And, Tiffany is saying, yes, at Marv the Barb, you can keep that grown and successfully mobile.
Thank you.
So,
I'm putting that on the shirt.
I know. That's his new tagline.
So if you put that on the shirt, then just, you know, just send Tiffany something for her husband.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got to send her one, too, though.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so I am working on that too. So the shirts and stuff like that, you might have seen some on my Facebook.
Yeah, I
Harry
did.
King's grooming. So just trying to figure out which ones are going to be pretty hot. The sweatshirt's pretty hot. It's thin, but it's warm. You know, that's what I like about it. It's not bulky, but just trying to. And the basis of that was Harry James 50 below, because when it's 50 degrees and below, you're going to wear skull hats, which we like to call toboggans. You're gonna wear sweatshirts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. So
right.
50 below is the thought of that when I was actually doing it. So that's actually in the logo of that with the clothing, and hopefully end of April I'll be able to have like a little fashion show, like a you know a nice little launch of everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. So this is one thing I want to kind of get. I want to get barbering a little bit. Tell me, you know, because I mean. The whole craft, of course, people have been barbering for years, but, you know, within the last few years, you really start to see the, you know, a rise in just the conversation about barbering. And, you know, you have all these barbers out there and, you know, everybody's doing something great. Tell me who you like. You know, there are so many barbers around the country. I mean, I know a lot of barbers. Worked with a lot of barbers, and there are a lot of barbers who, you know, I like, whether I've worked with them or I've seen their work through pictures or I've seen their work actually working with them or just barbers that I know of. But who do you like and who are you inspired by?
Well, first I would say, look, all of them, I don't, you know, mm-hmm. something may look like it was 80s type of fade, which people like, some people like that, which is not always as smooth. But mm-hmm. I'll throw some names out. I'm really, really cool with P. Diddy's barbers, Curtis Smith, Kenny Duncan, and Tone McGrill, if I say his name right, Tone Black, Tone McGrill.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys working with Andis are really inspiring. I see them all the time, you know, hair shows and stuff like that. Marcus, his name, I'm going to say his name, Harvey, that works with Nas.
Marcus Harvey.
Harvey, yeah, Harvey.
Yeah.
I've seen his work, and you know, those guys are actually. And I'm leaving a lot of people out, so I don't want nobody to take it personal if they are, you know, if they're listening, barbers wise, because I'm inspired by all of them. But those are the ones that I follow. It's another guy up in Camden. I can't get everybody's name, but he's up in Camden, New Jersey. Wins a lot of competitions. He also told me that he's been watching me for some time, so I wanted to not forget him. But you know, I'm inspired by a lot of those type of people that are, you know, they travel, they're working with products like the Bevel, like Marcus has worked with the Bevel, Nas, they had the Bevel, like Kenny Duncan, he has his own razors, combs, you got Tone, he does a lot of cuts too, and I see it with color, you know, and you really get a nice definition, you can see real clean, crisp work. Curtis, he has the Barber Battles, which I think he has one coming up. I think it is the weekend of December the 5th in Texas, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
He does a lot of Barber Battles. He also has great products with Exotics. Those products I used to actually sell myself, but I talked to him myself.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you.
What did you say?
You know, there's BarberCon coming up.
BarberCon, okay.
And I'm trying to remember.
I think I saw it.
Wait a minute. I'll get the information for you. I'm going to get the information for you right now because I forgot the exact dates, but it's coming up, I think, in the new year. Hold on one second. Barbershop Connect, if you're part of that group on Facebook, they give information about all of that stuff, and they're the ones who are actually putting it on. It's March 6th in Webster Hall in New York City. So
yeah,
I guess it's just that one day. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least on Instagram, I see a lot of Twitter. I see a lot of their work. You know, can I just say this though? I want to just give a shout out to Curtis because he always pretty much hits me up, and it's not even always about the barbering industry. It's about, hey, how are you doing? Because that's when I call him and say, how are you doing? You know, your health and all that stuff. So I spoke with Kenny at the last hair show about a couple months ago. And, you know, it's always, you know, I'm asking these guys, you know, how's your health and all that? Because you do travel and it's hard. So you always got to get your exercise and everything. But, you know, I spoke with David Guerin. He's the Oster King. He's the guy that travels with Oster, the white guy that travels with Oster a lot. And he rides a motorcycle and all that, has like the rock and roll style at the hair shows and stuff like that. And we spoke about, you know, where we think the industry is going as a barbers. So we think in the next five to 7 years with what's going on, you may see a decline after 5 to 7 years. And it's just due to the fact of, you know, in the 80s, a lot of people were getting designs and stuff like that. And it kind of separated the real barbers from just the guys that were just artists and that could draw on the head. So we're assuming that's going to probably happen again, where these guys, a lot of guys are not going to want designs, and they're just going to have to, you're going to have to learn how to really fade that hair and have to, you know, make it happen. And don't get me wrong, barbering is taken to another level, and a lot of guys can cut, and they don't have the name, but they got the game.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
but they got the game, you know, exactly.
Yeah, but it's just other things that they can critique to actually get them into the door. And it's not for everybody. You know, celebrities, you know, they're not for everybody. You know, I do TV. It's not for everybody, you know. But, you know, because it's a rigorous. I mean, you have to be on point. And the thing is, as a barber, you want to be consistent. You have to – for me, I look at my job as saying when I cut somebody, you get one shot, and that's every time. So I'm going to interview every time I'm cutting somebody. I don't get a second chance to make it right. You got to make it right now. And that's the mindset a lot of barbers need to have. I don't care if you're cutting, you know, Joe Blow down the street, because if you push his hairline back, it's a problem. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, or you mess his goatee up, it's going to definitely be a problem because he's got to go back to the neighborhood with that. You know what I mean? So they're coming back.
Right.
You know, right? Or they're coming back with their money and a fight. At least in Philly, that I know. I saw it. So, you know, it's you either got to hit the mark, or they're not even coming back, because it's so much competition in a sense out there. But if you're doing it the way you need to do it, you're not really competing. You know what I mean? You're inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when you see me, it's like I'm doing my own thing. You know, I know the certain lanes to stay in for myself. I'll jump out there and do things. But I have goals that I have to stay on because this is my path of where I'm trying to go with it. I study the industry and I find different angles and different ways to approach things, and then I go after it. And everybody can't make products. Everybody
mm-hmm.
can't cut designs. Everybody
mm-hmm.
can't do the P. Diddy's. You know what I'm saying? You know,
right.
Everybody can't lock that in. Even though I've got offered to cut Usher, you know, I've got offered to do people like that. And I'm glad to be in that conversation. But everybody
right.
didn't get that. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Oh, yeah. So that's what we're going in. So the next 5 years, you may see a little fall, you know, a little falling off of certain things. But, you know, by 7 years, you're going to maybe see a change in the haircuts, too. But we would come into more of a hip society now, you know, a hip grooming society, I like to say, which I wrote in the Huffington Post, which was an article some years back, living in a hip grooming society, which a lot of guys that you see in the industry, just in the professional world, in a sense, wearing parts. And it's not just black guys. It's white guys wearing strong parts, you know, hair pushed aside, pompadours, you know, all of those styles are now coming back, but they're being presented in a whole different way. So that's
what do you
my
think?
Take on
you, get, you mentioned you mentioned some designs. What do you think about Rob the Original?
Rob the Original? I never heard of Rob the Original. Is that the guy that deals with the?
Really?
Also can do it with the salt. Can he also
can
make designs
with
the salt? Like salt on the table. He's like drawing with the salt.
Oh, no, I don't know about that.
It's another guy that pushes this. He can do it on the head. He cuts it on the head, but he also can, you know, push it together, push the shapes together and make, you know, make face with salt on the table.
Oh,
so, I mean,
I don't know about salt on the table.
Yeah.
But if you Google Rob the Original, he's out of Texas. And
okay.
You see some of his work, San Antonio, I believe. He's awesome. He's an artist.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of guys have that, and that's really good. And you're going to have that one in certain states or certain cities that
mm-hmm.
is just the man. And everybody else is going to have to understand that and want to, you know, that's the mark. You know what I mean? That's the
right,
mark.
Right, right.
You know?
Right.
People are, like, wilding on my resume, but I'm like, hey, I'm liking your stuff. You know what I mean? You know, they wilding on my stuff, but I think a lot of times because of the people that I'm doing – or, like, long-term, you know what I mean? Like, they're in the media.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in the media for years. So it's kind of like that's a steady flow, you know? It's not like
right.
I'm hot this year and I'm not next year, you know what I mean? So,
right. Right.
Because Atlanta's congressman, John Lewis, see, I cut
mm-hmm.
him. But I give him a service. So it's not just a 1, 2, 3. You know, he's getting the hot towels. He loves the Bethel Road beard oil. I could honestly say that because I have an interview saying that. he loves the whole health and wellness of that, you know, and the towels with the scented oils and stuff like that to actually, you know, bring him back up to where he needs to be so he can be successful at what he does. So that's what we're doing.
Nice. Now, let me ask you about some female barbers. And I cannot remember the two names I'm thinking of. There's one female out there. She does a lot of, you know, like I think she's done Nas. She's done Terrence J. She's done,
Jackie
you know,
Brown.
She's done a lot of,
Jackie Brown?
Yeah, Jackie.
Yeah.
There's Jackie.
Okay.
But then there's another girl, oh, my God, who's really nice, but she does film and television. She's in the union out there. And I cannot remember her
Eddie
name.
Eddie Murphy? Did she do Eddie Murphy?
I'm not sure. Short girl? I think. I can't remember her name.
It was a salon out there that I was going to work at years ago, back in early 2000s. And I'm talking like 2001, 2002, which was popping. And they had, you know, my guy, Shiz from Philly, he out there on Melrose.
Yeah.
He was cutting Usher. He was cutting a lot of people, Common, all of them. But Eddie Murphy used to come in that show. It was called Millennium. It was on, I think it was 3rd and Fairfax, by the Grove. And I went there and cut a guy named Esau. He's a comedian for a photo shoot. And they was trying to get me in on that. And I think he was friends with Kim Kimball at the time because she was a barber too. But that shot was really the happening shot. And what happened was a lot of like people in the industry, like Eddie Murphy, took his barber, which was a female, and I don't remember her name, but it's a female barber, took her out of there. He took her out of there and said, "You're going to be my barber, only my barber." So if you're fortunate enough for that to happen, that's a great thing.
Right. You know, wanted to ask you about female barbers. About female barbers, do you think it's hard for female barbers to make a name as a as a barber? Because Jackie Brown and this other young lady that I'm thinking of, they have an extensive clientele list, and I'm sure it didn't happen overnight. You know, men didn't jump in their chairs just overnight. What do you think females have to do to kind of to get to the point where they can stand up there with some of the best male barbers? What is it? Do they have to set themselves apart in some way, or what is it? What do they have to do to get men to come and sit in their chair?
I think it's kind of like the same as it would be for a new barber starting out into a shop, but. And I mean, you have to have your skills together. You know, you got to be able to do the everything starts with the basics. I think the women would have an advantage because a lot of men look to a woman to, how do I look? You know what I mean? And she could give you, you looking good, boo. You know what I mean? So I think they have an advantage. And if they can actually cut you and detail you and, the way a woman would touch a man's face would be a lot more maybe soothing than the way I would pat their face. You know what I mean? So I think they have an advantage. I just think that their skill set just have to be, up to par. And, the way they actually present themselves, it has to be, there all the time. You know what I mean? I mean, you got Mayweather has a female barber, I actually saw her at the gym one time. And, you just have to approach them in a way that, it's almost like how mommy, it's almost like mom, everything's going to be okay. You know what I mean? Mom is going to make everything okay. So, when they come in and do their work, they do it very well. Sharp, crisp, they can use the same implements, especially a straight razor, because there's a lot of women out there that are coming and that have already came and are doing it, And they cutting with the guys and cutting better than the guys. And they have a unique approach because they are female. They can approach a man and tell him that he look good and he's handsome and sexy and all that. A guy can't do that as much as, I wouldn't want to do it, but I'm just saying, a woman can bring a guy into, a service a lot better, I think.
Right.
And standing on her name after that and seeing her work, especially if she's doing it like Jackie, she's at the award show tonight. I think the American Music Award. So, I mean, and how do I know that? Because I know that. You're doing it, people know that you're going to be certain places. And that's the thing. Those people will get respect and they will stand out. My approach to the thing nowadays is I'm looking for females. I would rather have an all-female shop, but that may not happen. You know what I mean? I'd rather have a lot of females because I think, from all different diversities, men – They go to these little corporate shops and they get done clipped up, clip whatever the spot's called, clips or whatever. And they may not get a good haircut, but they just like how the woman actually did it in the conversation and all that. So it's a lot more that a guy's getting from a woman than he is from a male barber. We trying to get them in and out. We'll give them
right.
Get them in and out.
You don't have much time.
Yeah, well, we give them some advice, but, anything after that, now you got to pay for, another spot, another appointment,
Right.
Or come to the class, what I mean?
Where can we get the products? Someone's asking where we can purchase your products.
Well, you can order online. Harry James Grooming. You can come through my site, harryjamesgrooming.com. You can come through my site, marthebar.com. They can hit me on Facebook at Marvin Church. You know, they can, if they don't want to go through those sites, they can just, you know, give me the information, and I'll send them a link that they can actually make the order. And I'll make sure they get it out.
Okay.
On the site you can actually order it, even through, because I'm on Square too as well. They can find me on there. Marv the Bar.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to put that out on Twitter as well. So what's next for the Harry James brand? I know you said April, well, you want to launch, but you're coming up with more products than what you talked about tonight?
Yes, I have a pink Himalayan sauce grub, which I've actually had a lot of people sample and use. And that helps with, like, eczema. That really helps, you know, with eczema. So a lot of people, you sit back during the tub or the shower, it'll help with that. And, you know, for, I was hoping to get this out, the sugar lip scrub for, you know, a lot of the women was like, what can I use? And men can use it as well. It's edible. They put it on their lips and just rub it together. That was just something, you know, something small and unique. But the pink Himalayan salt scrub was the one because, you know, the people that I have used this over the last six months to a year, they're really loving it. It took out, like, a lot of dry skin on their face. I don't know if you've ever seen people with, like, dry patches of skin on their forehead from wearing baseball hats. It took that off. I had someone call me 2 days later. It was like, man, I don't know who you are, but you know who I am, but it was like, man, you must be from heaven or something. And this is like the healer. Yeah. So, but, you know, well, I'll have shampoos and conditioner. That's some of the stuff that I'll have soon, too, as well. You're going to have to shampoo your hair.
Right.
But I'll have two Bethel Road oils coming, and I'll have two pomades coming by the end of this year. So
gotcha.
Look out for that.
Right. That sounds great. Now, what's next for Marv Barb?
Well, Marv the Barb is, you know, like I said, I've been working at NBC, working with Chuck Todd. It's been going on 3 weeks now. And I'll be pushing in to hopefully open up a shop soon, hopefully before next summer. Still up in the air with the name.
Okay. I was going to ask you if you were planning on opening anything.
Everything has to be right because if you look at the economy, what happened before, we knowing that, you know, if you look it up, hair industry, salon owning is not one of the highest things right now. It's on the downside.
Okay.
So you have to be mindful of that when you're going, like you're doing your research, you have to be mindful, understanding it is a good time to actually own. You know what I mean? Or just keep contracting out. So those are the things that I have to look into when I'm doing what I'm doing.
Well, how about the Harry James Grooming Lounge?
I had a client tell me that yesterday. Well, I have an opportunity to actually, right now I have an opportunity to actually own a salon. And, you know, it has barbering in it, and they already have people there. So I have an opportunity to actually own that salon and actually at a good location. So that may be a first priority to do.
Gotcha.
And then second of all, then I can do something like the grooming spa for men. Because I wanted to be like a grooming sanctuary where guys can come in. Women are welcome, but guys can come in and feel like it's a place of theirs now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
We don't have that. We don't have that. You know, men don't have that. We don't have too many of those places.
No, they don't. And it needs to be a place not to exclude women, but it needs to be a place specifically for men, and women need to stay away. Allow the men to have their own spot.
I mean, they're welcome, but, you know, they're welcome because a lot of women do get short haircut.
That's true.
The last 2 weeks, a lot of women that came to me, I'm cutting all my hair off. So, you know, I'm not going to exclude them when they want to get those cuts because they look good with their cuts too. So I'm not going to exclude them. You're welcome. But, you know, I'm trying to make it something for men because we don't have places. Like, you can go
right.
there. makeup counter, and you know what I mean? You know,
right.
Just women, 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 you know. So they just set up anywhere, yeah. Women can. But I'm hopefully in the future I'm going to be stepping in as a guest with one of your classes, and I can show the women how to prep the skin before they actually put the makeup on.
That sounds good. Let's make that happen.
Make it easier than make it hard, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, and then they bring a model. They'll bring a model.
Oh, yeah, we need to make that happen for sure.
Yeah, because I'm working on the master's class. I just had to push things back because I've been traveling. So I'm working on the master's class. You know, everybody, once you become a barber, then it's like, what do you do after that? You got to keep on getting educated. You know, you got to keep going to hair shows. Don't turn down no education, because the price of education now is not free, but the price is not where it should be anyway. So you might as well take advantage of the price that you're getting. There's so much out there, YouTube, you know. But I want each individual to learn something and take something and take the industry to the next level, because it's just not about me. It's just not about Illusions Beauty. It's about everybody. And, you know, we all have our part, you know, in the industry.
Now, before we go, I heard you mention YouTube a couple times throughout tonight's conversation. If we're going to go on YouTube and check out some videos on barbering or how to groom men or how to shave men, who should I be looking at? Because I'm sure it's a lot of stuff out there. So who should I be looking at on YouTube?
Well, I mean, there's you know, they got the Andis Clipper guy.
Can you talk about Kenny Duncan?
No, Kenny Duncan, you got him too. But Andis Clipper guy was the main guy who was doing Andis Clippers. He was a white guy. He has like a flat top.
Okay.
He's called a Clipper guy.
Oh, gotcha.
Of course, Kenny Duncan. I don't have too many videos on there, but I have one video that I did for Jet Magazine, which was showing about a whole full service where I was cutting the hair, shaving, doing the clay mask and all that. That was called The Explanation. That's on my YouTube as Marv the Barb. I know Kenny. I know he has YouTube. I know he does. And, you know, I don't really follow YouTube as much, but if you click on, you know, what you're trying to learn, barbering or clippers, you can learn about shaving, how to sharpen up a straight razor if you want to, or what's the right razor to have. So you can find a lot on there. Just don't be overwhelmed with the skill set.
Well, the thing is that I asked that question because I know, like, for makeup, you have so much stuff on there. You have people who really aren't professionals, and they're doing makeup on themselves. Then you have the professional brands on there. Then you have makeup artists who are professional working makeup artists who have pages on there. And so it's like I'm feeling like when I'm trying to learn something, I want to learn something from one of the professional brands or one of the working makeup artists, and not to take anything away from somebody who's not a professional, but I really don't want to trust or watch somebody who's just doing makeup on themselves. So that's why I was asking if you go on and want to look for tips on how to shave or how to use a clipper or whatever, I just want to have a reliable source to go to.
And they can always hit me up.
I know, but I'm also saying it. I'm also saying it for the people who are listening.
Of course,
you know, so they can hit you up, or they can go on YouTube go on YouTube and check out Andis Clipper Guy or Kenny Duncan.
Andis Clipper Guy. I know Kenny Duncan is doing his thing, and you may be able to find like Britain Barbers as well. They have barber schools, and you have Wall Academy.
Okay.
I'm definitely sure they're on YouTube. You know, I flick through there every so often, and I look at the different work. And, you know, if you type in certain things, it actually, you know, it'll come up to what you want to see. It's not everything. It may not give you everything from one person, but that's how you actually build up your skills. You know, you take something from someone else, and you're gonna do it one way. They're gonna do it their way because you both have different hands. So,
right.
But it's helping you critique, you know, your brand and who you are as a professional. So you take little things like that and build up yourself in the industry. So not, you may not get it all for one video, but it may be
right.
Someone that's doing something with a razor that you, wow, he's doing it so smooth. And you got to look at how he actually prepared his skin, you know, to
right.
actually, you know, have that razor shave like that.
That's true. I just want makeup artists to feel comfortable with, you know, using the razors and, you know, actually trying to remove hair from the face. I just want them to feel comfortable and have a, because, you know, there's not too many classes out there for makeup artists teaching them how to do that kind of thing. So I just want them to feel comfortable if they go to YouTube and look at something that they would feel comfortable.
Oh yeah, see now you're gonna make me go on YouTube and do somebody's eyebrows and show them how to do a man's eyebrows with a razor without making it too strong, but making it territorially.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you go out there and you do that. You go out there and you do some videos on how to shave and how to groom a mustache and a beard. You go out there and do that. We will be watching.
Yeah, I need to do that. Now see. Yeah. It's not enough hours in a day.
There you go. Trust me, I know. I do know.
but definitely, I mean, it's also what you want to learn too. So you have to be open minded to be able to say, you know, I want to learn a razor. You know, I taught myself
a
razor. Okay, and really, you're going to be self taught. And I'm going to tell you, I when I first used it on myself, and I nicked myself. You learn from that point right there. You would never cut yourself ever again, and you know how that felt, so you wouldn't do that to someone else. Now, I'm not
mm-hmm.
saying for you to go do that course, but I'm saying
right.
you know how to lay the razor down. You know how, and you watch, but you also know how to use a razor. One way to actually shave is you do it on a balloon, and
mm-hmm.
you get your strokes down a balloon. If you pop it, then you know it was too hard.
That's right.
You put the shaving cream on. That's the old school way of doing it. Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's the old school way of doing it.
Well, Marvin, once again, I do thank you. A very great conversation. I really enjoyed it. And
likewise.
So did some of our
likewise.
Listeners out there. A lot of great information. Very inspiring. We will definitely be supporting the products.
Thank you.
We need to get some of those products from you. We'll try to get the guys, the actors, to take pictures, you know, with your products so you can have something for your promotional materials type of thing.
Yes.
yeah. We'll see what we can get done for you. But definitely happy for you and proud of you, and just keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you very much. I love what you're doing too, you ladies, you know, both of you. Can't keep up with y'all, but I see, my eyes are open. I see everything. I'm like the internet scanner, and you know, I'm proud of where y'all are, because I remember when we said that. Yeah, you gonna come on my show? I said I'm gonna come on your show, and boom, you know, it was like a year later, but we, you know, that's when you started, and we did it.
Yep.
And here we are again, and you're bringing me on, and you know, it means a lot to me, and I'm sure it means a lot to other people that are listening, because I don't really. I don't do a lot of public appearances. You know, and, you know, I just get the opportunity to touch base, and hopefully if someone's inspired by the night, then, you know, I'm giving back. You know, I did something really well,
right.
And it really means a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday with your family.
Yes. You
like I said, anything that we can do to help promote the brand or whatever you're doing, just let us know. We'll get the information out there. So thanks again. And to everybody who's listening, thank you so much for your continued support. Thank you for listening. And everyone have a safe and wonderful holiday. And we'll be back next Sunday night, same time. And, Marvin, we're going to link up sometime next time. One of these times when I'm back in Maryland for a period of time, we got to hook up.
Oh, yeah. I think I just got to fly to y'all. I'm sorry. I can't wait no longer.
Right.
I'm just gonna fly. I'm gonna do a 3-day. In the A.
Yes.
So.
All right. We'll be here waiting on you.
Okay. Well, thank you.
But thank all you. Right. Thanks again so much. And thanks,
peace,
everybody.
Peace
everyone
and love.
Have a
peace and love.
Yes, peace and love for sure.
Yeah.
Everybody have a great night and have a beautiful and blessed week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.